Zvachim, Perkut, Gimel Mishnah, Gimel 13, 3, we return back to the restrictions of the Shechita and Ha'ala B'chutz, outside of the Azara, in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah says, Chomer B'Shechita Meba'aliyah. There is a way in which it's more, the halachas are more strict regarding the Shechita than with the offering up. Uva'aliyah Meba'Shechita. In another way, there is a stricture that applies to offering up that doesn't apply to the Shechita. Chomer B'Shechita, the stricture that applies to the Shechita is Sha'ashochet Lehediot. Chayev. If a person takes a Kodesh animal that's already hooked us, right? A person's at Harezu Ola, and then instead of offering the base of Mikdash, he shechts it outside of the Azara. So then even if when he shechts it, he's shechting it because he thinks he's going to either feed it to a Hediot as one pshat, feed it to a regular person, it's going to eat it, or some other pshatim is that he's going to serve not Hashem, but he's going to serve that person like in an idolatrous way, to pshatim. But either way, the point is that it's not to serve Hashem, it doesn't matter, okay? It doesn't matter. Because the pasuk says, Dam yechashev la'ishahu. It'll be considered like blood to that man. And the idea of la'ishahu, that man tells you, even if it is for the sake of a man, of a person, to serve a person even. Okay, and that would not be the case when it comes to the offering up. V'hamala lahediot, if one just offers up a korban out of the Beit HaMikdash, but he does it for another person, like to serve another person, if you will, so then he'll be putter. He's exempt from this iser kares of ha'ala b'chutz. Listen, he's still, if he's doing it as an idolatrous practice, there's a separate law of worshipping idols and those consequences. Okay, yeah, there's also a kares for that. But this iser is not applicable unless it's offered to Hashem outside of the Azar. And chomer ba'aliyah, there's a stricture that applies to the offering up that doesn't apply to the Shechita, that Shnaim She'achazu B'Sakin B'Shachatu, of two men, or women for that matter, two people, hold the knife and shech the animal together, then Peturim, then they'll both be exempt, even though they shechted a Kodesh animal B'Chutz out of the Azara, because they did it not one person. It was two people. And again, the Pasuk says, Dam Yechashev La'ish Hahu, it will be considered as blood, like bloodshed to that man. So understands it's only applicable if there's one that man, a single person. Okay? Ish, yeah, one person. In contrast, that if achazu be'ever v'haleu, if two people hold a limb of this animal and they offer it up together, I mean they put it on to the mizbeach and it burns to burn it, so you really have two elements, the bringing up and the burning, but they did it together. Then they are each equally obligated. Again, based on the drasha, because the opening words of that section of Vayikra Yud Zayin Pasuk Ches says ish ish mebeis Yisrael. So the double expression of a man, a person tells that even if two people working together, they're chayav. This just speaking out in contrast. There's a rule of what's called shnaim shasu, that if each person needed the other person, so then they're chayav together in general. And if each person could do it on their own, but they do it together, they're patur, like in Hilchos Shabbos or whatever it is here, also the same thing. So the chiddush is here, even though in other scenarios, since let's say they were doing a whole animal together, each could have done it on their own, just a limit of time. So they would, if they did it together, they should be patur. But the pasuk here telling you, even though normally you'd have a rule of like shnaim shasua, they'd be both paturim, but there's a special stricture that applies to ha'ala b'chutz, offering korbanos outside of the Azara. Now, he'ela, v'chazar v'he'ela, he put on one piece, and then a second piece, and a third piece of the same animal, you know, one leg, second leg, third leg. So then, chayav kol aliyah va'aliyah divrei Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon holds that each act of bringing a limb up is a separate crime, kind of like, you know, each time you're writing on Shabbos, each time you write a new word, it's like a new Isser. Each time you cook a new thing, it's a new Isser each time, and so on. Or if you're eating, each time you eat a kazayis of chalev, it's a new ma'is achila, a new act of eating. So he says, listen, if you do a limb, then a second, then a third, it's like three separate acts. Now, he's talking about a case of where you each is a separate he'elam, each is a separate lapse of awareness, meaning it has to be that the person put on the first leg and then he was told, oh, you can't do that, that's called ha'ala b'chutz, and now you're chayav to bring a chatas. And he says, oh gosh, but then the guy has no short-term memory, he forgets and does it a second time, and then he forgets and does it a third time. So in that theoretical case where he forgot and did three separate times, there could be three separate isurim and therefore three separate obligations to bring three separate chataos, those three separate acts. That's Reb Shimon's approach. Also, based on psukim, whereas, I'll explain the drush in a second, and Reb Yossi Omer, Eino Chayav Ela Achas. Reb Yossi says, no, the issue is going on the entire animal, so even if a person did like different legs, even with three different lapses, there's only one Isser Karas per animal. Okay? The basis of that is the Pasuk says, La'asos Oso Lashem, to do it for Hashem. Now, the it, what's it referring to? So, according to Rabbi Shimon, it applies to each and every limb. And according to Rabbi Yossi, it applies to the whole animal. And therefore, there's the machlokas. The halakha is going to be like, I'm not like Rabbi Shimon. The whole animal is one sipid, one whole iser. Now, further says the Mishnah, Veinu chayev achyala l'rosh hamizbeach. You're not obligated unless you actually put it atop the altar. Okay, that leads to Rabbi Yossi's shita. So that means that if you just, let's say you burn it on the ground, you're not chayev. It has to be brought up onto something. And what is it brought onto? Dafka, to an altar, like the altar to Hashem. Again, learn it from Sukkim, like Hashem's altar. But Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilu ha'ela ala sela v'ala evin chayev. He says, there's no need for it to be on a mizbeach proper. If you put it up on anything, even sela means bedrock, elevated rock, but it's like attached to the ground. And evin is any old rock or boulder, but it's not part of like the bedrock. Both of those, you'd be obligated, as long as it's something like, you know, elevated off the ground. Everyone agrees if it's not on the ground, you wouldn't be chayiv. The machlokas are, again, based on psukim. According to the Rabbi Yossi, the precedence really is Noach, who even Noach mizbeach, he built a mizbeach davka, whereas there are others, sources like Manoach, for example, that doesn't need to be davka, and that doesn't have to be davka a mizbeach. In fact, to the contrary, it's al mizbach Hashem Pesach Ohel Moed. In the Ohel Moed, you need a mizbeach, but outside not. And therefore, according to Rav Shimon, as long as anything off the ground, then you would be chayev if you bring it up and you cause it to be burned. One explanation brought for why it should be that there's two separate things: sela, the bedrock, and the evan, the like the rock or boulder. So you shouldn't think it's specifically sela is somehow unique because it's attached to the ground. No, it's all, and it has sort of a similarity, if you will, to the mizbeach, if you will. No, anything will do.